You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. What you're about to hear is about more than just football. It's about life. This is Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Now, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Rub the dust out your eyes. I don't like it when I do that. Rub them out your eyes and let's go. It's Monday morning, baby. What's up, Earl?
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So, Gilbert, I was thinking about this the other day, man. Do you think anybody's listening to us?
Do I think anybody? You know what, Earl? Everybody is going to, you know, I can picture it now. They're driving in their car, going to work or sitting at home, getting ready for work. And they just, it's Monday. So they're trying to get into the groove. So who they going to lean on? They're going to lean on the grave digger and the white haired Earl Ingram. to get them to their destination. So guess what? Everybody and their mama listening to your boy.
You know, man, it's going to come a time when your hair going to be white.
Earl?
It probably
ain't
going to
be like
is.
That. You ain't even got no black no more. You just white. it looked like you fell back into a vat of flour.
Hey, you know what, man? You think you're gonna humble me into changing the color of my hair? The color of your hair changes as you age, man. The pigmentation changes. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. You can be the grave digger, and there's going to come a point in time real soon, if it hasn't happened already, where you're going to have some white in some
places. You're going to have a strand or two of white in your stuff, but Earl,
is it that white, man?
Your whole hair just said, I give up, dog. I give up. I can't keep this color no more.
Well, you know what? It's too late to change it now.
Because, it's too late to change it.
Yeah, because people have seen me.
I know. But you know what? Earl, if you're looking crazy like you do right now, it would be to your best interest to go ahead and get you some Dark and Lovely or some spray can. Something. It don't matter. They know you're great now. Now show them how you look good doing Dark and Lovely.
Man, you know, listen, man, let's get at it, man. Let's have at it. So Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Lord. Why you got to open the show with this dude?
Because, man, he had that 4-day. Everybody talked about it all over the country. I guess if you can be a cat like Aaron Rodgers and all over the country, all over the world, they're looking to see what it is you got to say. And then after you come back from your 4 nights, you know, you go on and everybody's waiting to see. You say you're going to make a decision when you come back. The 4 nights been over. And now people are wondering and asking, hey, Aaron, what's the decision you made? You know what Aaron Rodgers said? He said he'll make a decision soon enough. I think he's tired of people asking him the question. Do they have a right to ask him the question?
Well, knowing that the Green Bay Packers are truly America's team, not Dallas. No, not Dallas. Green Bay is truly America's team. Everybody wants to know the state of what's going on. Now, going back to our quarterback histories, you know, we'd had 3 of the best quarterbacks and lucky enough to have them in certain phases of our lives. Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you go back to the Brett Favre era, okay, when did Brett Favre tell y'all anything?
I don't know, man. It wasn't like it was with Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you. Brett Favre, if I'm going to retire or not, I'll let you know. you know, this, that, or the other. Where do you think Aaron Rodgers getting this from?
It's a trickle down.
You never got a solid answer from Brett Favre. You'll never get a solid answer from Aaron Rodgers. That's just the way it is. Quarterbacks are a different breed. I keep trying to tell y'all. And eventually, y'all going to figure it out. Either he going to tell y'all or not. What's the rush? Tell me the rush, Earl.
Well, there are many fans who want to know. Okay?
Who got to know.
Yeah, well, they want to know.
Okay.
They're people on listening to us right now, 844-967-2789. Let us know. Do you want to know? Do you have to know right now whether or not Aaron Rodgers is coming back, or do you want him to continue to drag it out? You forget at the end of last season, Gilbert, a lot of the people who loved Aaron Rodgers, well, at least they hurt. Their feelings were hurt because they didn't make the playoffs, but they probably have changed their minds. They would say, well, let him go. Now, a lot of them were saying that, but they might have changed it. What?
Hey, Earl, your tone is like you yelling at me or something.
Oh, man.
You okay, brother?
Hey,
You okay, brother?
No, man. Listen, I'm speaking for the fans.
You heat it. I see it. Let me tell you something, Earl. Let me tell you something. I understand where everybody's coming from. But you also got to understand, everybody got to know. In this world of ours, everybody got to know right now. Right now. I demand you to tell me what you're going to do. But you got to understand something, man. There is no rush. You got a quarterback in the waiting. Jordan Love.
Who's tired of waiting?
What you need to do.
He's tired of waiting.
Yeah, who is tired of waiting, yes. But what you need to worry about is building your team. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers leaves. You got Jordan Love. Let's say if Aaron Rodgers stays, now you got Aaron Rodgers again and Jordan Love. Let's build the team up so when that time comes, you got ammunition to fight with. See, all this stuff we're doing right now is a distraction. It's a distraction. Let's stay focused on what's the task at hand.
So I don't care.
Aaron Rodgers gonna make people mad and drag you through the tulips or whatever you want to call it. Until he tell y'all what he do. Let him go play his game by himself. Let's get our team together.
Come on, man. Come on. So what you are saying is the people are the distraction. The distraction is Aaron Rodgers.
No, I didn't say the people are the distraction. I'm saying Aaron Rodgers is the distraction.
Right.
So let him distract by himself. Because whatever he do, listen, Earl, now, whatever he do, it's already set. It's already set. Either he gonna stay or he gonna go.
I know if
he
goes, wanna know.
If he goes, Jordan Love's gonna be there. If he stays, Aaron Rodgers is coming back.
You know what that sounds like?
What's the big deal?
We already got it covered. That sounds like whether Aaron Rodgers leaves or Jordan Love is the quarterback, no big deal. There's a difference between Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Even though I keep reading stuff saying Love has really come a long way, well, we don't know. We ain't seen
it. Right. But you already got – here's what I'm saying is, you already got your quarterback position solidified unless you're going to draft another quarterback, period. Right now, your things are getting the best receiver, the best safety, the best player you can get off the board. That's what it's got to be right now.
So you tell me – go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
So are you telling me then that the decisions that they need to make, really Aaron Rodgers can hold all that up, because if Aaron leaves, it changes everything for them, doesn't it?
If Aaron leaves, yes, it changes the money part of it.
That's all it frees the money up part lot, of it?
It frees up a lot more money. But then again, if he leaves, Jordan Love is a quarterback.
I know, but
now you got to go out. Now you got to go out and find a backup.
Yeah, but Gilbert, you talk like Jordan Love. You know, a lot of folk watched Jordan Love over the last couple of years when he got into the games. I didn't think he was that bad, but there are a lot of people when they mention Jordan Love being the starting quarterback from the Packers, they throw up their breakfast. I'm just saying, man.
It's just because, Earl, everybody is not ready for that change.
Right.
Everybody's not ready for that
but
change.
But it's going to happen, man, 39 years old.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But then again, they want it to happen after 2 years.
Nick, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Look, this is not, when we talk about the Packers, Gilbert, it's so much to talk about with the Packers. And you know, it can't always be at the top of it, Aaron Rodgers, if he going to stay or if he going to go. But you can't move. You paralyze.
If I was the talent dude, and the head talent dude is Gutekunst.
Yeah.
So if I was the talent dude, I would say, you know what? I'm gonna let him do what he do. I'm gonna push him to the side, and I'm gonna get my team right. Period. I'm not gonna let him dictate what I do. Right now, I'm going to go out here in this draft, and I'm going to go find me a receiver or safety or somebody, the top one on that list. Then I'm going to go to free agency and find whoever I need, because I got faith in both of those quarterbacks. Whoever's going to start, my team is going to be good.
So
I got faith in both of
them. So, Gilbert, do you think the Packers team, if Aaron Rodgers is not there, the way they are constituted right now, you think their team that can win the NFL East? I ain't talking about no Super Bowl. Are they talented enough right now to win that division?
If Aaron Rodgers leaves?
Yeah.
No, they're not talented enough.
But listen, we got to go to a break. Guys, hang on the phone lines. I'm going to see if we can find some time to get y'all on, because me and Gilbert having a come to Jesus moment right now. And we come to y'all afterwards. Hey, he got his. What kind of helmet is that you got on, man?
I got my hard head on today because I knew you was coming at me hard. I knew.
So we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Under the helmet with the grave digger in you. We'll be right back.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some
money. So I could feed my daughter.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It was a struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Something better than Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat.
That's the clean version, Earl.
Remember rapping Duke? The hard. Would take it this far.
You know, I thought that was Heavy D. I don't know, but they sound alike.
See, that's you acting your hair color right now.
Welcome back.
How do Calvin know who this is, but you don't know who this is? This.
Well, because I'm a guy who came from a different era when there was music and song.
That's not music and song.
I can see
is how these boys is today. These what's his name, Blueface and Lil Baby and all them. That's a whole different.
Yeah,
music
I agree.
Tone.
Let's do this. Why don't we go back to opening up the radio show first?
Oh, we got somebody to call?
Yeah, we got. Come on, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Under the helmet with the grave digger. And you can join us at 844-967-2789. Let's go to David from Mequon. David, thank you very much for waiting. You say what, man?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, the Grave Digger. I'll personally give you a reinforced helmet, by the way, stainless steel, at no cost to protect you from Earl today.
Come on, dude.
Anyway, I just wanted to say really quickly, I do agree with Gilbert that, you know, Aaron Rodgers picked up a lot of what Favre did. And this is literally like 2.0. He could be traded to the Jets. You know, he kind of does the same footwork as Favre does. He obviously doesn't throw nearly as many interceptions, but there's a lot of similarities between the two. And the Packers, from what I understand, they gave Aaron Rodgers a deadline March 15th. So whatever happens, something's going to happen around the 15th of the month. So that's, I think, what Gutekunst said, I think. So either way, it's going to move either with Rodgers or with Love. That's just the two options that's going to end up happening.
Hey, David, come on, man. You know, I mean, people, you can't say, like, this is...
Earl, you can't change this man's point of view. He's a patient fan. He's not one of those fans, I got to know now, right now.
Here's the deal,
no,
man. You keep
patient.
You guys keep talking like it's a level playing field with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. You don't know what Jordan Love can do.
That's what, no, see, Aaron, you like putting words in people's mouth. That ain't what we said. That is not what we said.
Well, but when you say, you know, we either got Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers.
That's what we got.
They're not paying Aaron Rodgers $150 million over 3 years because he's on the level playing field with Jordan Love. It's because of the quality of, look, the 2 years ago, a year before last, he won the
MVP.
Most valuable player 2 straight years as old as he was. And nobody came close to him, man. You know?
How are you fussing about anybody as old as they was? How is you doing that, Irv? How is you doing that?
Because I
don't get it.
Because he's playing pro football, man.
He's an athlete. Athletes at that age are exceptional.
Not all.
You see what I'm saying?
If they still
getting top dollar and they still doing the things they do, they're exceptional.
I'm not questioning that, man. So anyway, Dave, I will do this.
Dave, thank you, man. Thank you, Dave, for standing up for what you believe in. Thank you, Dave.
Hey, man. Look, we got some folk who are going to disagree with you. I know.
Well, I'm waiting to hear him get on the call.
844-967-2789. I wonder if I should bring them on now or wait till after the break. Calvin, probably after the break, right? Let's bring money after the break because we only got a couple of minutes before the break. But here's what I want to say to you, Gilbert. Man, you act like that this one man, this football is a team game, man. You know it. I mean, I don't know.
What?
It's a team sport. It's a team game, man. I don't know how
Did you see when Shaq was talking at Kobe's funeral and he told Kobe his team in there and Kobe told him, no, it's an ME in that team somewhere, homeboy. So,
oh, man, come on, man. Come on.
It's an ME in there.
You didn't tell people, Gilbert. You don't tell. When you out on the football field, when you coaching young guys, you don't say it's an ME in there. You say it's a team game. Quarterback can't do nothing without the offensive lineman.
Right, I understand that. I never doubted that. But there is a pecking order in sports as well, and everybody know who's the lead dog is. Everybody else got to follow the lead dog, unless the lead dog do something stupid. You see what I'm saying? It's just plain as day. Aaron Rodgers is the Green Bay Packers' lead dog. You either follow or you get out the way.
Okay, well,
then who else?
Then you and I are on this show right now. Who's the lead dog?
Well, I hate to say it, but it's you, Earl.
You hate to say it, but it's me. I'm
surprised. I hate to say it, but it's you, man.
We got to go to a break, man. I'm going to leave it right there. 844-967-2789. My God. You know, that's unbelievable. We'll be right back. Hey, man.
Don't think jits, think pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right, if they head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us. Come on. Talk, go through us. Girls want to us, want to do us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Under the helmet with the grave digger is in section. You know, Gilbert, I was looking at this man and
fix your camera, Earl.
Oh, okay. All right. Man, this blows my mind, man. Out of all the years that the NFL has been in place, there's only been 2, 4, 6, 8. Black head coaches in the history of the NFL, Frederick Pollard, Tony Dungy, Art Shell, Herman Edwards, Dennis Green, Marvin Lewis, Ray Rhodes, and Lovie Smith. In all of those years, there's only been 8. There are 3 right now. What's going on, man?
You know, you know what, man? It goes back to the culture of first they was thinking a black quarterback is not smart enough to be a starter. You know what I'm saying? Which is stupid, but that's how it is. Then, you know, they go to the black coaches. There's plenty of black coaches in different positions. Plenty.
We talking about head coach, right?
But I'm just saying it's plenty in all other positions. But again, are they smart enough to be a head coach? You know what I'm saying? What is it? Now, and people always got to understand the owners run the league. The commissioner has to go to them. He works for them. And that's what people got to understand. That there's nobody policing the owners. So they can hire who they want to hire. They can do whatever they want to do. They can bend and get this guy to make it look good, or you can give a guy a legitimate shot or chance. Let's look at Eric. Let's look at Eric Bieniemy.
So before we go there, I got to correct. It's 20. My mistake. There's been 20, but 20 is still not many when we talk about all the different years. You talk about Eric Bieniemy. Go ahead.
I believe that Eric Bieniemy should have been a head coach by now.
And for people who don't know, he was the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs for a number of years. He just left Kansas City and he went where now?
He went to Washington because he still got to prove himself to be a head coach. He still has to. I mean, I think the guy got 2 Super Bowls on this.
Yeah, he does.
So, but he still got to prove himself to be a head coach. So he had to take another job to get away from the success he built in Kansas City, helped build, because Andy Reid is a hell of a coach. He turned out a lot of head coaches, just like Mike Holmgren had turned out a lot of head coaches under him. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, it's not fair, but what can you do, man? That's just how it is. That's just how it is.
You know, Gilbert, as I was looking at this, 70% of the NFL players are black. 70%. And the fact that 32 teams right now, 3 head coaches, one of them, Mike Tomlin for Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't believe in changing coaches, and whoever the coach is going to be there until he basically, retires or dies. So, you know, well, that's the way Pittsburgh does it, you know.
But Pittsburgh, you gotta also understand, Pittsburgh is a winning program. If they would have had three 8-8 seasons or four 8-8 seasons, they'd be gone. They'd never been able to mount up back-to-back losing seasons. So that's why these coaches keep their job.
So here's what I want people to understand, Gilbert. There are 722 coaches on all the teams, and that's running back coach, special teams coach. Out of that 722, 43.5% is black, 314. So it's not like they can't get coaching jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What they can get assistant coaching jobs. Listen to this.
Absolutely. All day.
More than 50% of the coaches at the lowest levels, quality control coaching assistants and fellows, non-white, compared to only 27% of the coordinators are black. Now, anything under that coordinator position, blacks are recognized and they get their opportunities. The 29 of the league's 31 running backs coaches, 93% are black. Offensive line and quarterbacks coaches, 90% and 81% white. So 90% of the quarterback coaches, 81% of the offensive line coaches are white. In the past 7 years, only 6 running back coaches have been promoted to offensive coordinator. Just one coach with the running back's resume has been hired as a head coach during the span. So what that's saying, Gilbert, is you're not smart enough to be a quarterback's coach if you're black. You can be a running back's coach or a special teams coach, or you're not smart enough to be an offensive line coach because 81% of them are white. So am I reading that the wrong way?
If statistics tells you anything, you just said it right there. Offensive line and quarterbacks are supposed to be some of the smartest people on the team, because the offensive linemen have to know all the plays, have to know all the blitz pickups. You got to know where everybody is. So that's a smart position. Don't let people tell you just because you're big, you're dumb. No, that's not the case. The smart positions are offensive line and quarterback. And you said it right there by statistics. Who's coaching those guys?
So the NFL, out of all these years, and I remember, man, constantly there have been over the years people complaining about just what we're talking about now. It hasn't changed.
No. I mean, it's kind of like I had to go to the doctor because of the we got the CTE protocols and all that other stuff. Now we got it, and I went into the doctor and listen now. Now if you get a concussion, it's a weak protocol. You know what I'm saying? You got to go through this protocol for a week. When I played, you take 2 plays off, it's a stinger, get your butt back in there.
So
you understand
this
what I'm
is what they used to call a stinger.
Stinger, whatever it is, yeah. Man. You got your bell rung. Take 2 plays off and come back in. You understand what I'm saying? So with that as a synopsis, when I had to go see the doctor about our CTE stuff, I asked the doctor, I said, doctor, what has happened? Did the brain change from 1923 to now? Has the brain changed at all? He said, no. So why is it so important now that it wasn't then? You see what I'm saying? And then you got all these guys doing stupid stuff or crazy stuff and they're trying to figure it out. You got to understand the process of the game. You see what I'm saying? The game is going to evolve. The game is going to do this better. It's going to do that better. But what about when it first went down? How about those guys?
So, man, listen, the research clearly is a lot different than it was before, but you're 100% correct on how they handle the guys before they got all this research. And so was the union was not as strong as it is today. Is it safe to say that?
It's safe to say that sometimes that you need to push the envelope to the envelope can't be pushed no more. And some people are worried about having good relationships with other people instead of pushing that envelope till it can't be pushed no more. And that's the thing that bothers me. That's why I'm not a chapter president for this or chapter president for that, because all you do is go to these meetings and you talk, but nothing never gets done. Why do I want to be a part of that? And they may get mad at me right now, and they may do whatever. But sometimes Mama always say you can stand and straighten. And this is the straightening part of it. If you're going to do it, do it. If not, get out the way and let somebody else do it. Don't be that guy that's just going to appease both sides. You got to be that guy that's going to push that envelope till it can't be pushed no more. And our envelopes has not been pushed to the point of, you know, health care and all this other stuff, because they forget we laid the groundwork for all these young guys out here right now, and we get pushed out the door, and you get nothing for it.
That's a sad situation. Many of the fans and all of us who love the game, we really don't know what happens to players afterwards, and we think that all the players wind up with money like Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
But
far too many players don't wind up with much of anything.
No, and that's the case. I mean, they always tell you, well, you should have did your money better. You should have did that better. Unless you're a quarterback or somebody like that, you don't really get the opportunities like these quarterbacks and guys get. But then again, Earl, it's to the point of, you know, guys being taken care of for this game is making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you mean to tell me you can't set something aside for the guys from way back when, to the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, whatever it is, to now, that you can help these guys out better? It's once you're done, it's kind of like once you're done, you're done. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Thank you for your years of service, but you're done. And that's not right. God should be taken care of.
You know, Gilbert, I don't know if it's the individual owners or if it's the NFL itself that has the responsibility of making sure that these guys are taken care of. Because if you really look at it, with all the money that they make, it's not a whole lot of money that they would be asking for to make these guys' lives a little better.
It ain't them asking, I need a million, I need a Maserati, I need this. Right. No, I need to be taken care of as far as health care, you know what I'm saying? Because some of these guys can't pay for nothing now, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they shouldn't have to, because the job is taking care of you. That pension time, you know, they put a cap on, if you get 55, you get this type of money. You got to wait to 65 to get this type of money. By that time, you're half dead. You got anything after 65, you get this type of money. I mean, come on, man.
I know you probably know some guys that you play with. We're not asking for any names. Who are still friends of yours who really didn't make a lot of money, but you don't look at it from how much money they made. They're still your teammate, and it's pretty tough for them, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I've known guys that got to take certain jobs and do certain things, and some of it is their fault, some of it ain't. But it's to the point of this is the greatest game in America.
No question.
Bar none.
Almost in the world.
And they make the most money. That should be somewhere. I mean, you got a commissioner making over so X amount of dollars. You got owners making X amount of dollars. The only ones that are getting guaranteed money is the head coaches. I mean, come on, man. I mean, there's got to be a better way. But if you speak out or you speak out too much louder, you're going to get shunned as they do you.
Well, you know, unless you're the star players, you can be replaced, right?
Unless you're a star player, you can be replaced, brother.
Listen, we got to go to break. Al, hang on. We'll be right back on the line with the grave digger himself. It's Monday.
Earl, you got to call this. Earl, you got to call this Heavy Monday. God damn, you heavy this Monday.
All right, we'll be right back. 844-967-2789. The one and only grave digger is on the line. We'll be right back.
Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they broke and you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy. You know everybody's head bobbing. I see you.
It's a nice beat, man.
I see you.
It was a nice Biggie beat.
That's Biggie, man.
Yeah.
What you think it's supposed to be?
Well,
the place,
you know,
with style and grace.
You know, man.
Lyrical distance.
All right, welcome back to the Biggie Small. Oh, to Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger on the Earl Ingram Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to the phone lines. And Al from Milwaukee. Hey, Al, what's going on, man? You say what? Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, gentlemen. You too, Earl.
Come on, man. Hey, it's bad
I'm
enough
from Detroit
having
too.
Jump on me.
What I said, I'm from Detroit too.
Yeah.
I've been in Milwaukee 55 years, but I'm from Detroit.
There you go.
I want to thank you for saying what you said, Gilbert, because see, people look at it from the standpoint that you get out there and play and you're taken care of for the rest of your life. They treat you all just like they treat us, the veterans. We go and put our lives on the line and come back here and they kick us to the curb. So I feel you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, Gilbert, and I guess what Al is saying is, you know, there is a correlation, man, between the players. You know, I don't know how many players on the team, 55, whatever it is. But the people may know 10 or 15 of them. The rest of them, we really don't know. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I want to say this to Al, too, though. I always hold the military in high standard. You know what I'm saying? Everybody always say football is that. I said, man, they call us heroes. I said, no. We are comic book heroes compared to the military and the veterans. We are nowhere near on the same plane as them. They are honored and should be held to the highest standard. So I understand what Al is coming to too, because I've seen it, I felt it, and I've heard it, the way the military has been treated. So my hat's off to you, Al, if you, anybody that you know in the military, because you guys are America's greatest heroes. We're just comic book guys compared to you.
Don't understand is one third of all the homeless people in this country are veterans, because the Veterans Administration and the people do not take care of us. Once we get out, they dump us. And you got to go through hell to try and get some benefits. The other part of that is I played football most of my life up until I was 50 years old and couldn't get into the pros. I played semi-pro ball, and see, like Rocky Blyer came back from NAM and he got in, but he wasn't one of us. So I tried, but I didn't make it.
So Rocky Blyer.
But I coached for 50 years. So it don't make me no difference. I was in the game one way or the other.
Rocky Blyer is before Gilbert's time. He doesn't know anything about Rocky Blyer. Pittsburgh Steeler.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
You know about Rocky Blyer, man?
Yes, I do. I've met Rocky Blyer several times.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. All right.
Great. You got to know greatness in order to become a good football player. I ain't going to say great. I said good football player. So you got to know the game. So you got to know the participants that are great players. And Rocky Blyer is one of them.
Hey.
That's right.
You know, man, what Gilbert and I are talking about, really, the fans don't get a chance to even think about, and that's all those guys who are ruined for life from the game, and whether or not the game is going to do the right thing by them. And I think, Gilbert, if more of the fans understood that, you know what I mean? Maybe the fans could bring some pressure because they see these guys.
Earl, they shouldn't have to, man. They shouldn't have. The fans shouldn't have to. It should be, I mean, all they got to do is open their eyes and look at the state of how these guys are right now and how much money you make. You have to be ashamed of yourself that you call yourself a guy that's running some kind of league and not being able to take care of the guys that made this league before you set your ass in their chair to be the man. Go back and help those guys out.
Yeah, man, you know, it really is. Again, if the NFL did not have the resources that it has, you may be able to say they can't afford to do it. But you and I and anybody else who knows the owners of these teams, man, they're multi-billionaires many times over. And Gilbert, they certainly could do the right thing, and it wouldn't hurt them to do the right thing. But that's, you know, we live in a world like that, man.
Yeah, you're right. And again, like I say, thank you, Al, for giving us the opportunity to talk to a veteran today. And also, man, Earl, there is a pecking order, man. And at the end of the day, in football, the owners hold all the keys.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, football, even though football is a game, it's a business, right? It's a business first. And when you get to the pro level, you know, it's a game. And it might not even be a game on the college level, Gilbert. You played on that level. It's a business there too, right?
It's becoming or needs to become a business so that these kids that's been getting taken advantage of for so many years be able to get their just worth by making a university $1 billion operation.
So, and I think there is now finally some of the college players in college sports can now make a little money. Is that correct?
Yes. And people got to understand, just because a kid from the inner city of Detroit or inner city of Milwaukee got a full scholarship, that don't mean that you just walked into money. I remember when I got my full scholarship, my mama could only send me $50 a month. And I had to try to make $50 a month work until next month she could send me some more money. You see what I'm saying? But I'm making this university billions.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, you know, Gilbert, man, I don't know what happens to the time, but it always gets away when you and I get a chance to sit down and talk. Time
this is heavy
gone.
Monday, Earl. Earl, you got to put up a sign and say, this is going to be a heavy Monday. This was a heavy Monday.
Well, you know, there's some folk listening. Listen, we got to run. Man, until next Monday.
Until next Monday, my brother.
Under the helmet.
The gray-haired Zorro.
Under the helmet with the grave digger on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. It's Monday at 9 o'clock. Likewise.
Calvin.
All right. See you guys. See you later, Gilbert. We'll talk later. Be right back.
2-2.
So what's going on, man? Represent, baby.